There's so much misinformation out there. You overpronate and you might need a stability shoe. If anyone's ever told you running's bad for your knees, slap them.
No offense to all the runners out there, but you're all pretty challenged.
Physical bent. Post run beer is one of the best beers you'll ever have.
You never feel shit after a run.
You'll get fit, you'll get strong, you'll get healthy.
Running is fucking awesome. I'm Mike, I'm Dutch. I work as a massage therapist.
My name's Pat. I'm a running coach, physio. I'm an avid runner myself. We thought we'd call the podcast That's Running.
All right, we're back again.
Are we?
Sort of. This is take two of this episode.
Yeah.
Because I'll take full responsibility for that. We always record this on my phone, and the day before I did a running assessment, I had a metronome going in the background at like 175 BPM, and I forgot about that. So the whole episode, 20 minutes of metronome in the background, 175 BPM, and we're like, let's not do that. Unless you really want it, I'm happy to publish it, but you probably won't really enjoy that.
So it would have sounded something like this. We just had the metronome going the whole time.
Yeah, so let's not do that.
So we're going to re-go.
Yeah. Although that person I assessed that day, he then did a 15K run with a metronome nonstop.
Really?
He 15K nonstop.
You should just give him that podcast episode.
I just said, look, try it. Do it at the beginning. Just get your brain to get used to that. Mm. Turn it off. Check in 5K later. 15K is a metronome. Nothing else.
Yeah. I have a lot of my people run with a metronome nonstop on long runs. Some people feel like they need it. Some people end up liking it and enjoying it and find it like comforting in a way, but I think the majority of people dislike it.
I chuck my phone in a bloody bay somewhere. Nah.
I can see how it would be quite rhythmical and quite nice, like just kind of like tuning out but tuning in at the same time. Like I can see that, but I think, yeah, and having that going for an entire 15K run, I don't know, it's a bit much for me.
Yeah. Anyway. We're talking, again, on training smarter, not harder. I don't know how we came up with this. I think we were chatting about it the other week.
I know how we came up with it.
How did we come up with it?
So a lot of the time, I see a lot of people end up in the physio because they
are dumb.
Well, they're dumb, yes, and 86 episodes into this podcast when, you know, people are still dumb. You're getting smarter. You all are getting smarter, but there are still some dumb things. But a lot of patients end up in the clinic because they train to their strongest point, not their weakest point. Mm. So take, I don't know, shin splints, for example. Say, you know, you can run 9 kilometers pain-free, but after 10 kilometers, your shins start to hurt. It would kind of make sense to do a lot of 7, 8, 9 kilometer runs to keep fit, but without overloading your shins. But training dumb would be doing a 20 kilometer run through pain.
Because you can aerobically handle that.
Yeah. So if you're training to your fitness capacity, which is heaps, but you're exceeding your tissue tolerance, like your shin bone tolerance, that's training to your strong point, not training to your weak point. So if you're constantly pushing it like that, that's when you wind up injured and niggly and sore. So I had a few patients doing that, and a couple of people actually were like doing it in the gym as well. I actually had a few people recently who were able to, you know, squat like 130 kilos because their glutes and their quads allow them to do that, but they would get back pain. Like, great. So you're so strong that you can squat that heavy weight, but your back hurts. So that's training to their strong point, not training to their weakness. If they trained to actually improve their back, they'd be doing like 80 kilo squats instead of 120 kilo squats. So that's very much training, not smart. It's training to your strong point. Really, it's training to your ego. That's kind of what it is. So it's a bit of a reminder to, you know, if you're dealing with a niggle or you know that you're increasing your load or whatever it might be, if you just train up to your top speed capacity or your top aerobic capacity, that's when you'll just risk getting these niggles. So that's called training harder, not smarter, and in the long run just does not lead to results.
Yes.
So we like people to train smart.
Yeah. Like in the fitness industry, I like to say, do what you're bad at. In life, please do what you're good at. But in strength and fitness, do what you're bad at, because you'll get better at the thing you're bad at, and then you'll get better at everything else automatically. Because if you then saw that lower back strength, you can actually go heavier in the other things.
Definitely.
If you really struggle running hills, run more hills.
Yeah.
If you struggle with speed, do a bit more speed work.
Exactly.
And don't avoid it because you go, oh, it's hard, I'm bad at it, I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
I'm the perfect example. I'm a terrible swimmer. I decided to do an Ironman. So, you know, reluctantly I started swimming more because I have to. Now, I've gone from 3 minutes per 100 meters, which was me starting off. Now I'm at 2 minutes per 100 meters. And that was within like 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And not doing crazy stuff, but just training.
And that's you recognizing your weak point and training that.
Yeah.
So trying to improve that. So that you did that by like swimming consistently, getting a stroke correction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And working on that consistently. And I'm like, oh, I'm not concerned about it. Like, I'll never be an amazing swimmer, but that's not the goal here. I just want to survive. No, I couldn't be. Trust me.
What are the Dutch like at swimming?
We're pretty good, actually. Like,
yeah.
Used to, I think, a while ago.
I feel like there was a Dutch guy that was challenging Ian Thorpe back in the day for a while. What was his name?
That's a very good question.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I want to say Ruud van Nistelrooy, but he's a soccer player.
Yeah, definitely not him.
So, you can come at this from a performance point of view, like Mike, to improve his performance, he's, working on swimming. If you're not a great hill runner, work on the hills. That's how you'll perform better overall, make yourself into a more well-rounded athlete.
Yeah.
But also from just a body maintenance, injury prevention point of view, just to maximize your training. Knowing that, if you are dealing with a niggle, then just train to the capacity of that and don't push it further, which will allow healing and adaptation and improvements to take place if you're not constantly overloading that area. That's hard. It means swallowing your ego and saying, okay, my Strava's not going to look as good for the next couple of weeks. But
you just don't put it on Strava. Yeah. I've got people that just go, oh, I'm in rehab. I'm not going to put anything on Strava until I'm out of rehab and then start Strava again.
Yeah.
They're like, nah. My stats, bro. My stats.
So I put everything up there. Except gym work.
Yeah, but who puts gym work on, right?
Yeah, I unfollow people if they put bicep workouts on Strava. Sorry.
That's why I don't put it on.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I've got a big biceps.
So basically, if you train smarter, that means you'll get less injured. Mm-hmm. And getting less injured means you miss fewer training sessions. If you miss fewer training sessions, that is the definition of consistency. And if you're consistent in your training, you'll build fitness. And if you can build fitness sustainably, that there really equals like true enjoyment and fulfillment and satisfaction in your running, in your chosen sport. But also that's how you achieve your goals. That's how you ultimately get fit.
And that allows you to train harder.
Yeah, exactly. But the first step in that chain is to just be smart about it.
Yeah.
And kind of drop the ego in the first instance. And if you're trying to be smart about it, then that's probably the best, most sustainable way to do it.
It's almost, you have to train smarter to then train harder.
Yeah, exactly. Earn the right to push yourself like that. You've got to like build the capacity to be able to push yourself, which is hard because if you see other people who kind of look like you and everything and they're able to push themselves quite hard, but you're not, it's like, Either they're training smarter or they've been doing it for longer or they're a bit stronger than you.
And everybody is so individual. Like some people can do no strength work and run 7 days a week and never get injured. And you're like,
assholes.
You asshole. I'm going to kick you in the knee just because.
Yeah.
But there are people like that and they go, I don't need strength work. And some people don't. Would they benefit from strength work? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But from an injury point of view for them, they don't seem to need that for whatever reason that is.
Yeah.
And other people go for a walk and go, bloody hell, I need to do this run for it because my calves are hurting.
Yeah.
Everybody is different. Everyone needs a different sort of dose of strength versus running versus other stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, so different. If I get a brand new runner come to me and it's very different approach if they've been doing nothing for 5 years or if they've been doing CrossFit for 5 years. Such a different approach to them, because for one person you've got a strong human with strong bones and strong muscles and strong tendons, and the other human you like yeah, okay, cool, we're dealing with rubber and Play-Doh here. We've got to build you up. So, yeah, it's fully understanding like where you are at this point in time, but where you've been, what you've been doing the last 1, 5, 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like we look at your training age.
Yeah.
So if you've been running for 6 months, much higher risk of something happening than if you've been training for 10 years.
So your training age is basically how long have you been training?
Yeah, exactly.
If you've been training for 10 years, your training age is 10 years.
Exactly. And that's something that I've become way more conscious of the last few months, or I suppose this year, is that really my training age is like well over 10 years, probably getting towards 15 long distance running.
Mm.
And that then allows me to tolerate really rapid spikes in load more so than someone who's been running for 1 year. So I know I routinely do things that you'd consider nonsensical, like I just did a 60-kilometer run last week.
You could call them dumb.
Yeah. But I think that's me kind of knowing my body, knowing the risks, but also like with my big training age, like my bones and tendons and ligaments are just kind of
the condition.
They got 10 to 15 years worth of that stuff. So the bigger your training age and the kind of the more strength work you do, that gives you more of a buffer against succumbing to dumb shit. So it allows me to be slightly dumber.
And I think on top of that, you also are very in tune with your body and you have this all this knowledge.
Yeah.
I know what this feels like. I know what that could be. Oh, I'll back off a bit. I'll increase or decrease my cadence.
Yeah.
Or maybe I should stop.
Yeah.
And it's because you have that training age, you have the experience, you have the knowledge. You can make that call right then and there. Yes. Where if you've just been running for 6 months and you go, oh, something's niggling. Must be normal.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had someone recently that has been running probably her training age is about, I'm going to say 2, 3, maybe even 5 years.
Yeah.
And every run, her feet were like super painful. And she thought that was normal.
Well,
I guess all runners get sore feet, right?
No.
Because you get sore feet from running. So I'm working on that with her at the moment. And yeah. I was like, wow.
Oh, it's interesting, and as like, you know, what we are like healthcare practitioners, it's like, sure, like let's treat your foot and try and get to the bottom of it.
Mm.
But also, sounds like she just needs like a talking to, really, like
yeah,
just some fresh perspective on, you know, regular pain is not normal.
And that's why,
like discomfort, I suppose, with running is kind of
like, if you're in the long run and your feet get a bit sore, like my feet get sore after running, I'm like, oh yeah, I've worked my feet.
Yeah.
But not really painful.
Yeah.
And she only found out because she talked to a friend and was like, oh, do you get sore feet? And she was like, oh, yeah, I get a little bit sore feet. But she's like, yeah, that's super sore. And you're like, no, that's not normal.
Yeah.
Sort
that out, bro.
Yeah, so it's like regular pain is normal. Putting it out there.
Yeah. And so it's good that she's, you know, has taken action, right? And she's now working with you.
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to then adjust her training to get her to train to more of her like physical capacity rather than just flogging herself.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it. If you do that, then you probably won't wind up in our office or our clinic.
Ideally, like you can always come drop by and have a coffee, but ideally we don't want to see you.
Yeah. We kind of do.
Yeah, we kind of do.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think that covers it.
So it's a bit weird doing a podcast for the second time.
Yeah. I feel like we're missing things, but also we've added things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're good though. Look, I feel like I'm being done right now, cognitively.
It's your first coffee, so that's fair.
I've only had one coffee today. So I think, yeah, if you like fully understand like where your body's at and knowing that you get a real sense of what your physical body is capable of at each point in time, then that allows you to train to that. And if you cannot exceed that regularly, then that will allow you to essentially create good conditions for adaptation and increase in performance.
Yeah, so go do the things you're shit at.
Yep.
Because that will make you better in the long run.
Do heels. I know I'm not great at squats, so like that's something I'm trying to do more of. Yeah.
If you know you're going to do a run that has a lot of stairs, go do bloody stairs.
Yeah.
They're hard, you're probably struggling, but that's how you get better.
Yeah.
That sounds really simple.
Yeah. And it's also a mindset shift as well. Like training for UTMB last year, I learnt to like relish hills.
Mm.
And that was a big mind, like head game thing for me. Yeah. I actually loved every hill that I was on. And it was as simple as being on the hill. And instead of going, fuck, this is steep, when is it ending? I simply shifted the mindset to be like, oh, I'm on a hill. This hill is epic. Like, how cool is it that I get to do this?
Exactly.
And if you shift your thinking from I have to do this to I get to do this, like, well, you just, like, massive game changer. So I did that mindset shift in my training. Then I trained on hills a lot. And now I'm pretty fucking good at hills. There are a lot of my running mates who are significantly faster and fitter than me. I'll drop them on every hill. And if there's a hilly run, I'll beat them. Like, it became a strength of mine.
Yeah, so that's because you practiced it and you mindfully practiced it.
Mm.
Years ago, I started telling myself, I love hills. Hills are the best.
Yeah.
I bloody hate them. But you just go, how good is this hill?
Yeah.
Like, epic. And then because you think like that, you actually feel better going up it.
Yeah. Yeah, and even if you say it out loud, like, people around you are like, fuck, Pat, shut up. You're being an idiot. But, like, I don't care because it's working.
Yeah, exactly. And when I coach, I always say, well, just tell yourself you love it.
Yeah.
Like tackle that with a positive mindset. Yeah. And then you feel so much better.
100%.
Do it. All right.
Find your weak point, train to it, both in terms of performance, but also physically as well. If you're mindful of all that, is that the definition of training smart? Probably is.
And I thought, well, it is now.
Yeah, it is now for this week. Do that.
Sweet.
Okay, bye.